Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Jenny Carlson. We are living in a very wacky world. I'm watching the Browns lead the Steelers 35-7 in the NFL playoffs. And the Thunder got their most impressive win of the season Sunday night in Brooklyn, 129-116 against Kevin Durant and the Nets. The Nets were without Kyrie Irving, but still, this is a much better Nets team than the Thunder. Still have Durant, still have LeVert, Jared Allen, Joe Harris, all those guys. And it looked like it was going to be a blowout, Jenny. It was 41-29 after the first quarter. The Thunder could not play any defense. The Nets got whatever they want. And then it ended up being a blowout on the other side, three straight quarters of the Thunder outplaying the Nets. I was very surprised about this one.
Yeah, and I think you set it up exactly right, Joe. I mean, it's one thing as we sort of talked before we got rolling to beat the Knicks, or, you know, even that reversal of fortunes against the Pelicans on this road trip, you know, after the blowout loss here in Oklahoma City, then a few days later to go to New Orleans and get that win. I mean, that's impressive. But when you beat a team that has a guy that scored 43 last time out in Caris LeVert and Kevin Durant, who I know has been out because of COVID tracing and protocols, but still, I mean, he's still Kevin Durant. And you could see there was definitely the motivation to get going there in the second half. And the Thunder had answers for all of that. And I'm sure we'll talk offense here in a second, but Joe, to me, the game turned with the defense, getting hands in passing lanes, really affecting the flow of that Nets offense that we saw in the first quarter. And, you know, it's not that the Nets didn't score, but it just was a lot more difficult after that first quarter.
Yeah, the Nets scored 41 in the first quarter and then 22 and 18 in the second and third quarters. I thought that was the difference as well. The defense just looked totally different. Mark Daigle said after the game that he thought his team came out a little bit flat. And that's something that even when the Thunder has gotten blown out, they haven't really looked flat or like lacking energy. But it makes sense. They were at the end of a five-game road trip. They've been gone for almost 10 days, I think. It's sort of like the fly home game. You know, you have to play the Nets and then you go back home waiting to play the Spurs on Tuesday. But yeah, the defense really turned up. Like, this Nets team, I'm pretty confident in saying they're going to end the season is one of the best offenses in the NBA. And then to hold them again, even without Irving though, but to 22 and 18 points was big. I thought the fascinating part of this game was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did not defend Kevin Durant. That was Darius Bazley's job. But Kevin Durant defended Shai for a lot of this game, and that was sort of, you know, interesting to see, you know, the former Thunder star against the new Thunder star. And, you know, Durant had a big line, 36 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. Some of that came late, but so did Shai. He scored a season-high 31 points with 7 assists and 6 rebounds. And he said after the game that, you know, he did get a little fired up for this challenge. And he knew that Durant would have to guard him, but they would have to do it on the other end as well. So I don't know. I had fun watching the Shai Durant battle.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I thought that was really interesting that, you know, Durant was the one tasked with guarding Shai, but I thought the Bazley on Durant matchup was pretty solid. I mean, I thought Bazley he blocked Durant at one point, you know, sort of got beat, but then blocked him from behind. You know, I thought that Bazley did an admirable job on Durant, frankly. Now I think when Durant was really started cooking, I think the offense, as I mentioned before, I'm sure we will talk offense, but that was when the Thunder offense really was able to answer bucket for bucket, because they were trading there at one point and the Thunder never really let the Nets, which was in those moments was really Durant, sort of get away and, you know, go on his own 12-0 run or his own, you know, 9-0 run. They didn't allow that to happen. Because he got to the rim a couple of times and, you know, the Thunder fouled him, which obviously is never a good idea because the guy can shoot you know, free throws as well as anybody in the league almost too. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that, I think we saw Shai affect Durant in several instances, and Shai continues, you know, obviously, I think we're seeing a better consistency from three with him. You know, he was 2 for 4 tonight. So, you know, definitely, you know, absolutely acceptable in terms of how many and what percentage he's shooting. If you're going to shoot 50%, shoot a couple more, see how it goes. But, you know, we saw him get to the basket, you know, saw him do, you know, some things with finishes that, you know, really difficult, some strength, some finesse. I mean, just all around, sort of doing things, I think showing a lot of his offensive prowess. So, yeah, that was a really fun, matchup tonight to watch. And, yeah, it was, while Baisley was thrown on Durant, we also saw, you know, Kenrick Williams was on him for a time. So you just saw several different guys. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting to see how the Thunder tried to manage Kevin Durant tonight.
Yeah. So Shai finished 11 of 16 overall, like you said, 2 of 4 from three, his season high, just 1 point off his career high of 32. You would kind of, 32 is a lot of points, but looking back at that, I was kind of surprised that that was his career high. I think we'll see a new one set this year for him. But after the game, when I asked him about, you know, facing Durant, he said, obviously, Kevin Durant is one of the better players in this league. And me being a competitor and a guy that ultimately wants to be one of those guys, I love challenges like that. So something you would expect him to say, but also something you'd like for him to say if you're the Thunder, to take on those challenges. So Shai did lead the team in scoring tonight. But you talked about that offense. I will give you the choice here. Should we talk? Two other guys set season highs. Al Horford, he had 22, 9 of 17, 3 of 7 from 3. And then Hamidou Diallo, after scoring a season high 23 in New York, he scored 25 in Brooklyn. Do you want to talk about Horford or Diallo first?
I think we got to talk Diallo, that guy. I mean, he was 10 of 14 tonight, Joe. 10 of 14.
It's crazy.
He was, yeah, and sort of in the same way that Shai was sort of showing the you know, range of the offensive repertoire, Hamidou Diallo was too. Yeah. I mean, he was getting to the rim. He was, you know, pulling up. He was, I just thought he was really spectacular. I mean, and truthfully, Joe, I don't know if you've looked at the plus minuses at all tonight, but, you know, we've talked at different times about, you know, how the Thunder's second unit, you know, how would that be where they just couldn't keep up. Tonight, the second unit, Isaiah Roby, +8, Hamidou Diallo, +17, Théo Maledon, +18, Pokuševski, +16, Kenrick Williams, +16, that's mind blowing. Yeah. But the guy that clearly was leading that, and, you know, they seemed like they really didn't want to take him off the floor, was Hamidou Diallo. I mean, obviously a great energy guy defensively. And if they could get, you know, if they get 12 or 14 points on, you know, a consistent basis out of him, they're going to be feeling great about that. But 20 plus two straight games, I mean, that's got to be really exciting for all of them to see, considering, you know, second round draft pick, a guy that had injury, spent time with the Blue, you know, just all the things that you go through in those first years of your career when you're not sort of one of those top round draft picks. I think we're starting to see, you know, some acceleration in his progress.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, some of the biggest stories of the year so far for the Thunder, in a year where, you know, we're all focused on development. How are these young guys developing? Shai is off to a good start. I think Baisley and Dort are off to extremely good starts. Like, we had that discussion to begin the season, who's going to be the better second year player. I think they've both made strides. But like, Diallo to me is the most surprising of those young guys, because we didn't even include him in that young core. You know, he is still young. He's 22. Final year of his contract, and not a guy we ever talk about as being in the Thunder's long-term plans. I don't, it's too soon to know if that will change, but he averaged 5 points a game last year and was like the energy and defense guy. He came into this one averaging 10 and a half. That's obviously going to go up by quite a bit still with the small sample, but I don't think three-pointers are ever going to be part of his game, but he hit one of those tonight. He had a couple nice drive and dishes to Roby and Horford for finishes around the rim. Like, he looks like he's more in control. We've seen him in the past sort of dribble to nowhere, take bad, you know, mid-range shots. If he could sort of cut that part out of his game and just be drive past everyone to the basket and make crazy finishes around the rim, like, he could turn into something, I think.
Yeah, and I think he does look much more under control. I mean, his energy and how much he exerts out there has never been in question. But yeah, a lot of times it didn't seem like it was very well placed energy, or it didn't quite connect with exactly where it needed to, you know, hit home. But yeah, he looks more at ease. Which, you know, it's such a crazy thing to think, because, you know, with such a short off season and, you know, so little training camp, you know, for a guy to, you know, we obviously saw that huge leap by Bazley going back into the bubble. But that was such a long stretch of time. This was such a condensed amount that you're talking about, from, you know, end of the playoffs in the bubble to, you know, showing up in Oklahoma City. And there had to be some rest in there. I mean, you can't just go, you know, 100 miles an hour and think everything's going to be fine. So to have that kind of trajectory, to have been as, you know, upward as we've seen it, that's really, I mean, I think it's obviously physical, but to me, it has to be as much a mental thing as anything for Hamidou Diallo to sort of, again, with the ease, with the sort of not have that harried, you know, way about him, but still have that energy. I think that must be something that has clicked mentally for him. And it's fun because, yeah, you're starting to see that guy that was such a, you know, eye-popping talent when he got to Kentucky all those years ago as a, you know, high school phenom, and, you know, all of the athletic gifts that he has. Now you're starting to see that marry up with understanding and skill development. And yeah, it is crazy. I didn't, you know, I thought maybe he would be a guy they would look to, you know, extend because he might be a, you know, a reserve guy. And I still think he's probably in that role, but he seems like he's a guy that, you know, you'd kind of like to see where this is going if you're the Thunder, you know. Yeah. You know, extend him and see, well, heck, if he's doing this now, what about in another year?
Yeah, and I really do think, you know, you mentioned it, he just seems to understand the offense a little bit better. Like, and he's probably the most athletic guys out there most of the time, the fastest guy most of the time. He, you know, he's thrilling to watch on some of those fast break dunks and blowing by guys, but like, there's more layers to his game now. And I think layers is a word he used tonight. He even mentioned watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and George Hill, how they navigate around pick and rolls and sort of set up plays. And, you know, I think those, you know, assists he had tonight, there were four of them. Like, that's a good number for him. And to not just be that straight line drive guy, but to add a little bit of playmaking to his game. So, and also, every time you ask a teammate about Hami or Daigneault, they all seem to be very big fans of his and sort of the work ethic that he puts in. So easy to, you know, for the Thunder to root for a guy like that, because, yeah, his development has been crazy. I don't know, though. Maybe I wrote about this. It sounds funny to say, but, like, he really does love playing in New York. Like, he gets up for these games, playing in the Garden, playing at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Too bad for him that he doesn't get to hang out with his family and see some of his friends. But he put on a show for the hometown fans.
Yeah, he was definitely, you know, at his best in these two games back home. And, you know, hopefully that's not just a flash in the pan thing. I think we've kind of seen him building this way, but you hope he carries that over. But yeah, I mean, I was looking back in my game notes at some of the assists that, you know, he's he had an assist on an inbounds play that, you know, he hits Roby in the corner for a wide open three.
Yeah.
You know, just some good decisions that put guys in really good spots where they can shoot the ball and, you know, make, you know, sort of in that sweet spot for them. So, yeah, I mean, it is really fun to see because, you know, there's still the dunks. We still saw a couple of those tonight, but definitely you're starting to see that more refined aspect of his game as he goes.
What the bench is doing is just crazy to me. They outscored the Knicks bench 48-24 two nights ago.
Yeah.
Today was 44-30. You mentioned all those plus minuses of the reserves. Like, the sample is growing larger. I will give you that. I still don't think the bench can possibly be a strength of this team as the season progresses, but like, they play hard. They seem to sort of have decent chemistry with each other. And sometimes that's all it takes for like reserves to sort of tread water and to keep the game within reach. But it's not only that, like in the Knicks game and now in the Nets game, we've actually seen the starters get into a little bit of a hole and like the bench brings the team back, which is like, I never thought we would see that.
not the storyline we were expecting to talk about. Yeah. And when you look at the group, I mean, obviously, you know, they'll usually leave a starter in there to kind of overlap. So we're not talking usually. So there's been some times when all these five guys have been on the floor together, but you're looking at Roby, Diallo, Maladone, Pokuševski, Kenrick, Williams. So, you know, obviously more guard heavy, your tallest guy, Pokuševski, plays on the perimeter. So they're kind of small ball on everybody. I mean, offensively, there's not, you don't look at that lineup and think, man, they're going to go out and score a lot of points. But if you're the other team, like, how are you going to guard, you know, who are you putting on Hamidou Diallo? Like you said, Joe, fastest guy on the court normally. Like who's on him if you're playing on the second team of whoever? You know, you look at Maladone, who even though he didn't have a great night tonight, only scored 3 points, and but he I think he had 5 assists. So I mean, a guy that again playing in his 9th NBA game as a rookie on a, you know, short, again, no summer league, very short training camp. I still have been really impressed with just the refinement of his game that we've seen already. And then, you know, you mentioned Williams and his energy and Diallo, obviously energy. I mean, it's obviously not a standard five. Like you wouldn't look at that group and go, okay, I can figure out where everybody goes, but they kind of create some interesting challenges for teams because they've got some superlatives is probably the right word. I was going to say, I don't know if that's too far, but like you said, you know, Diallo fastest and somebody like Williams, who's never going to probably be out hustled out there. I mean, they've got some things going for them that, you know, other benches have to contend with and might not quite know what to do with them in all instances.
Yeah. And some of those lineups have decent shooting as well. One guy that's usually out there and the best shooter is Mike Muscala. He did not play tonight. He had a rib contusion. Mark Daigneault said before the game that Muscala was available. But it ended up saying after the game that that was basically an emergency situation that he could have played if he had to, but instead Isaiah Roby, who I think has also been sort of a pleasant surprise, he played those backup center minutes behind Horford. Let's talk about those two guys, Horford and Roby, because they both played well. Horford, again, season high 22 points, 6 rebounds, 3 of 7 from three. That's what he's going to give you. And then Roby can stretch the floor as well. He was 2 of 4 from three, 5 of 7 overall with 13 points and 5 rebounds. And I give Roby credit because, like, one night he'll start and then the next night he won't play at all. And then, you know, he won't play for a couple more games. And then tonight he's the backup center all of a sudden playing some different roles. So Horford, you know, it's been a little bit of a slow start for him, but you know, he's less exciting because he's been in the league so long. We know what we're going to get from Al Horford. He's the ultimate professional. Roby, I think we're still seeing, you know, more in his game. He's still an unknown, but they got good play out of both of their centers tonight.
You know, as surprising as Diallo's trajectory has been, when the Thunder reported for training camp, if you'd have said, you know, who would be a guy that you would be really surprised to see not only make the Thunder roster, but be a guy that could contribute some things, I would have said Isaiah Roby, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a guy that I thought was a training camp ad, especially when you saw like the other guys that they just had so many guys after they finished all those trades and everything. I was like, I just don't know. I mean, it seems like there's not really an obvious spot for him, but clearly, I mean, heaven knows what the other guys did behind closed doors in training camp. But if he showed some of what he's showing now in games, I mean, I see why they kept him. I mean, he's got some of the same skills at a young age as Al Horford, and that ability to stretch the floor, knock down threes, that corner three. I think he hit a couple maybe from the corner. I mean, that's the type of thing that the Thunder has sorely lacked in having a couple guys that could just stand over in the corner and knock down shots all the time. I mean, PJ Tucker's making millions doing that. I mean, like that, that's such a vital thing in the NBA. And so, you know, that's a guy I'm pretty surprised because again, just not somebody I expected would be on the roster come the first day of the season. And now I like you said, you know, he goes from lots of minutes to nothing to, you know, reserve, and he's just had a real steady way about him and shows some good positive signs of ability. And, you know, I assume he's learning quite a bit from Al Horford, and when you've got veterans like Horford and Hill, that's what you would hope would happen. But it looks like there's some tutelage happening there between those two guys.
Yeah. He's a guy that was basically an unknown last season. He was traded from the Mavericks to the Thunder midseason, played three games for the Thunder, then missed the whole rest of the year, did not even go with the team to the bubble because of a foot injury. So it's like, you know, had no sample to judge Isaiah Roby off of last year. I, with you, thought that he, you know, could have been cut during training camp and not make that final roster because they brought, you know, a lot of guys in. There wasn't many spots up for grabs. He ends up making the roster. And after really not playing well in the preseason, like, he's played much better, I think, since the regular season has started. So, yeah, it has been interesting. And what I like about that position is that it's totally different than last year, where he had Steven Adams and then Nerlens Noel checking in for Steven Adams, neither of whom could shoot the ball at all from three. And now you've got Horford, Muscala, and Roby, who can all shoot it. Kind of a different philosophy there. And, you know, those guys make sense as backups for each other. Roby's problem will, like, come on defense if he has to play, like, a big bruising center, he's just, like, too small. Might not play that position. Really, same with Muscala. Like, Horford is much better defensively than those two. But he's definitely a guy who can give you a little bit of a burst offensively. So, yeah, pleasant surprise Isaiah Roby has been.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's a great point when you talk about how that center position looks so different this year, Joe. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts when you talk about the trades and all the things that the Thunder did in the offseason. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why Al Horford ends up in Oklahoma City. But, you know, that style of center and how does he affect what Shea can do, what Bazley can do, and, you know, just how does that change things? I mean, they would be a different looking team if they had a more of a Steven Adams type guy down low. I mean, and it wouldn't, I'm not saying it would be different bad or different good. It would be different. And, you know, obviously there are different types of centers out there in the league. And if you're thinking about a rebuild, which the Thunder is, and Sam Presti needs to know, like, what am I, you know, what do Shea, Bazley, Dort, what are those guys? How did they play with Steven Adams? How are they playing with Al Horford? I mean, that's pretty important. So early returns would say they play pretty well with the center who can stretch it. But I think that that's a really interesting thing to consider as this season moves along.
Want to finish up with a quick look at the standings. 9 games in for the Thunder. They're 5-4. First off, I guess before we get to that, it is crazy that this team is 5-1 on the road. I know road games don't mean anything necessarily. Most teams still don't have fans. So maybe maybe NBA road teams are going to have a better record than home teams this year. I think that could very well happen. But it is interesting that, you know, this was a pretty tough road trip and they ended up going 4-1. So 5-4 overall, you know, the standings are so jumbled. It's still, you know, still early, but it looks like half the West basically has 4 losses at this point. Then there's some 4-5, 4-6 teams. The Timberwolves are down there at 2-7. Barry and I had this conversation on the last podcast. We both think Minnesota, you know, Towns is back though, but you know, I think Minnesota and the Thunder are still going to be at the bottom of the West. The West is just still loaded. Maybe Memphis with all of the injuries they're dealing with yeah. Jaren Jackson and John Morant. So the Thunder is still probably a bottom 3 team in the West, but this 5-4 start goes against the trajectory we all, you know, wrote about and talked about before the season. Just like, how do you assess that with like this team outplaying its expectations and really like not doing what the Thunder eventually set out for this season, which is you know, could still obviously win the lottery, get a high draft pick, but we have to talk about what they are right now, and that's 5-4, 9 games in, which is not what anyone expected.
Not what I expected, Joe. I mean, when you think about it, you know, I can't even remember what I predicted their win total would be, but you know, we've seen teams go through a big rebuild and struggle to get to double digit wins. I mean, yeah. Philly did it one of their seasons in the rebuild, I think got to 12 eventually, but really struggled to get to 10. Like it was like, oh my God, are they not going to win 10 games this year? And so that's the type of thing that starts going through your head. You know, they're in the West. They're going to face teams that have, you know, more superstars, more talent, you know, on and on down the list. And they very well may lose, you know, they may lose a lot of games before this season is over. There's a yeah. very high likelihood.
They could still go on like a 8-game losing streak or something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But here's the thing, you know, take this game against Brooklyn. They have been in, this is a 10 days away from home. That's not an easy stretch for anybody, for any team, veteran or, you know, young. It's a difficult road trip. And then you spend the last 4 days of that road trip in New York City, which I don't know what you think, Joe, but it's kind of an attractive place to be and, you know, go around and see stuff and do stuff. And I assume if you're a 20-something NBA player, you know, even in a pandemic, you might, you know, find a place to get some takeout or do something. I don't know. I know it's not as wide open as it would be normally, but, you know, it's one of those things that you just have to think, for them to have tonight against the Nets, to have come out with the type of focus and energy and, you know, after that first quarter, as we talked about at the top of the pod, you know, a first quarter that was not very good, to stuck with it and get that thing turned around. That's a huge, huge feather in their cap. You know, there's a lot of veteran teams that wouldn't have done that. They'd have, you know, said, all right, well, next thing we do is get on the plane and, you know, who cares what happens in this game. So I think it shows, you're right. Nobody expected 5-4. I didn't either. And it's been fun to watch these guys. I mean, they're an interesting bunch, and you just don't even know what to expect, but it has been interesting to watch them and how hard they do play.
Yeah. I mean, even in those 2 blowouts, like, again, 2 of their 4 losses are blowouts. So that kind of leads you to think that more losses are on the way. But yes, I think it is a credit to like Mark Daigneault and the staff and Shea and, veterans like Horford and Hill and Muscala and Hami. We've talked about them all. Like, everyone is sort of like outplaying those expectations. But again, I still think it's like too early for any fans who are worrying about, oh man, is this team going to sort of like ruin the high draft pick? It's still early. After 20 games, if they're 10-10, then maybe you worry a little bit. But after 9 games, 5-4, I don't know. But anyway, I think that'll we'll wrap it up there. The 5-game road trip is over. The Thunder are finally heading back home for a Tuesday night game. So we will be back with you then. So thanks again, everyone, for listening to the latest Thunder Buddies podcast, and we'll catch you next time.